The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Believe it, everyone, it is a Friday morning, 7 a.m., 710 KNUS. Been a fist fight week, Friday morning, the 23rd of July. Thanks for being here, 2021. Thanks to Dr. June Depp for coming on the air. Evening storms, 93, much like what happened yesterday. We'll do it again for the next couple of days. During the All-Star, right prior to the All-Star game, there was an amazing story of four people being arrested in downtown Denver in a very expensive hotel with guns and drugs and cash, and I thought a huge cover-up took place. And we talked about it, and it sort of went nowhere. And then Julia Carty steps up from the Denver Gazette. Julia, thanks for doing the radio show. Good morning. Welcome to 710 KNUS, and I hope it's not the last time we do a show together, and thanks for doing it. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, you're great. I read your piece, and I went, here we go. A little bit about your background first so people get to know who you are.
Sure. So, again, my name is Julia, and I've been a reporter for about 5 years. And so I spent the previous 3.5 years before coming to the Denver Gazette, Law Week, Colorado. And so I came to the Denver Gazette last October when the paper launched, and I cover mainly policing and public safety.
I read the Gazette, so I'm a fan. When I get into work in the morning, there's always the standard websites I always read, and I've begun to read the Gazette. So congratulations. Actually, you guys do a good job.
Well, thank you for saying that. That means a lot.
No, it's for real. So, I was the big deal. I was the guy. But when this story broke, I went, no, this one doesn't add up. So let us begin. You tell us your thoughts about what that happened in that hotel in the Maven. Very expensive place, and we're led to believe these are just a bunch of innocent dope dealers with guns. What did you find out?
Sure. So as far as what happened in the hotel, there's a lot that we still don't know. And so what I know about what actually seemed to be going on in those hotel rooms, I think is pretty limited to the arrest affidavits that have been released, both at the state level and federally, but I can talk a little bit about the reporting that I did on suspect Richard Platt being evicted from a Boulder apartment earlier this year. So a couple of days after the arrest, I want to say it was maybe the Sunday afterward, I got a tip from somebody who was familiar with Mr. Platt's situation that he had been evicted from a Boulder apartment earlier this year. And so after that conversation, over the next couple of days, I just started trying to verify information that we had talked about from official sources. And that was interesting. Over the next few days, it started a kind of back and forth game of telephone, I guess quite literally, where I was calling different agencies saying, hey, I got this piece of information. Can you confirm this? Or this other agency told me this. What do you have to say about that? And occasionally an agency would say, well, to answer that question, I need to know this other piece of information. So I would get that and call them back. And so that was back and forth for a couple of days. But it was really when I got a copy of the police report showing that Boulder police had contact with Richard Platt in April, around the time he was evicted, and learned that he had an open warrant and did not arrest him. And then also when I got a hold of a couple of exhibits in his eviction case that alleged illegal activity that was going on in that Boulder apartment, there were things alleged like drug dealing. There was, I think there was a mention that he may have been operating a meth lab out of the apartment. There were some descriptions of hearing screaming and yelling going on in the apartment, odors, and there was a description of a person that seemed like they may have been kind of on watch for the apartment, just a lot of people coming and going. Those pieces of information, when I got the police report and then when I got those exhibits from the court case, was really when I felt like I had a story, because Mr. Platt's criminal history seemed relevant very much to the things that he was being accused of in the hotel. So that was why I was following this chain of reporting that led to him getting evicted from his Boulder apartment and then ultimately confirming that Boulder police had a contact with him in April and did not arrest him.
Our guest is Julia Carty with the Denver Gazette. You sent me over, and thank you for it. Oh, you didn't send it? Someone else sent it to us. I apologize. The rap sheet. I mean, these guys got phone books. And one of them, I got 1,000 questions about it. The automobile that it was a maid that goes into the room and finds a bunch of weapons in the room. The room, I'm told, is $800 a night. And they decided to stay, or that was the story they told. And I talked to so many people in law enforcement about dope deals. And if they were these just community-loving dope dealers, as we were led to believe, why didn't they go up to Adams County or Federal Boulevard or Colfax and rent a room, put their drugs in it, and use what's called a runner? This is what I sat and talked to people. Actually, not sat, but had phone conversations. And just use a runner to bring the dope in and out. And I understand they didn't have that much dope. And the hotel employee discovers God knows how many guns, ammunition, inside of one room. Was a Friday night. And they had an automobile that had an Idaho plate on it. It was a Mercedes with an Idaho plate. You're terrific, Julia. None of it adds up. What do you do with that?
You know, we still have a lot of questions about this as well. As far as I understand, and I will say that this is something that I don't know that I have been able to confirm for sure, but the arrest affidavit released by, I believe it was Denver police, mentioned that Ricardo Rodriguez was the primary renter on the room. And I did a little bit of background information, and the thing that was a little bit difficult to confirm for sure, but it does appear through public records that he has an Idaho address.
Okay.
And he does have a previous felony conviction in Colorado from the early 2000s. And so his connections to Colorado between his prior criminal history in Colorado and now are unclear, but it does appear that he had an Idaho address. Okay. And we did, one of our other reporters, I'll say, did interview him in custody. And
well, they interviewed our guest is Julia Carty from the Gazette. But I thought it was really odd that these guys were available to every television and, I guess, print interviewer. It was Ricardo Rodriguez. And I'm thinking, you tell me the defense attorney that wants his or her client on media being asked questions in the media. I think it was a quelling. I think they did that to make everybody feel better. Don't worry. Be happy. Your thoughts?
Sure. And so since it was actually one of our other reporters who did one of the interviews. That's kind of how that interview went. Yeah. Is something I'm pretty limited in what I can say there. But what I can say is that we did talk about doing those interviews beforehand. And we did talk about the fact that there's concern that at the time we had very limited ability to verify what these suspects would say in their interviews. And so we had conversations with our editors, and including one of my editors who's very experienced in doing jailhouse interviews. And so we did acknowledge that concern and decided to do the first interview and then decide what to print based on that. And, you know, ultimately as a journalist, I can't control what somebody says. I can't tell them not to talk. You know, that's not really my responsibility.
That wasn't my question. My question is how available they all were to everybody immediately. And there's no defense attorney worth, as I said, his or her salt that takes their client. Says, yeah, go randomly talk to Channel 4. And how quickly Channel 4 was there or 7 was there. And I do believe, this is only belief, that they were trying to calm the waters. And they were putting, and Rodriguez puts himself out there sort of like this innocent, really community-loving heroin dealer. And that was bought. That was a bought statement. And I thought, hey, wait, hold on. I mean, it never really sat well with me. Again, that's me.
Of course. And I guess I should correct myself. So the interview that I was referring to earlier was with Gabriel Rodriguez. Oh. So I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry about that. So there were two Rodriguezes involved in this, and it was Gabriel Rodriguez that we spoke to. But back to your comment. I mean, I would agree with you to the extent that absolutely somebody in their situations would have reasons to paint the situation and their circumstances in a certain light. So that's what I'll say about that, certainly.
What are they doing with all the guns in the rooms? I mean, those are... And then the guy says, well, he made guns for veterans, Richard Pratt. But you pointed out Pratt. I mean, Pratt is extensive. And then how does a woman pronounce her name that was... Was it Pratt's girlfriend, and they had a bond on each other or something? What about that story? Well, that part of the story.
Sure. So again, I will admit that I'm not entirely positive how to pronounce her name, so I won't risk mispronouncing it. But I'm going to be pretty careful about what they say about that. What I say about that, because the way that I confirmed the link between the two of them, between her and Richard Pratt, was through, unfortunately, an arrest report for Richard Pratt in April of 2020 for a domestic violence incident. And it appears that the incident that the police reported when they went to the apartment was possibly not the first time that had happened. And so just to respect her privacy, I'm going to be careful what I say about that. But her attorney has told the court in Denver that she only had peripheral involvement in the hotel incident. And
with respect, she was staying there. I mean, come on. I mean, I love these people, but I'm talking about the media people. They allowed all of it. It's just me, but there's Richard Pratt, Gabriel Rodriguez, Ricardo Rodriguez, and you're right, I can't pronounce her name. Where are they as we speak? Where are they still in custody, Julia?
So as far as I can tell, the three suspects are in federal custody. Gabriel Rodriguez, Ricardo Rodriguez, and Richard Pratt were turned over to federal authorities last Friday. And at that time, the woman who was also arrested remained in state custody. And a spokesperson for the district attorney confirmed that she is facing drug felony charges, but she has not been charged with any federal offenses.
Look, they kick street dealers out left and right. I speak to these cops all the time. Now, I've read different, I don't know the truth on how much dope they had or didn't have. And it wasn't illegal to have the guns. It's legal. You can have the guns legally. And if they just had self-use dope or even street peddling black tar heroin, you don't go to the federal penitentiary. You don't go to federal hold. And I throw the BS flag at the city of Denver, the state of Colorado, and the feds on this story. Richard Pratt and the Rodriguez is not related, as they always say. They're in feds. I was told night before last, that the feds got them. It's not illegal to have the guns. And they had, you know, street value heroin. Federal government doesn't take you for that. And I just believe this whole story is just nonsense. There's not another person that anyone could ever name that had a baggie of black tar that ends up in federal custody. It just, Julie, it doesn't happen.
And one thing that I'll say about what I mentioned earlier, so it appears that the woman who was arrested is out of custody now. But to clarify on the federal charges, so the three suspects who were turned over to federal authorities have been facing a federal charge each of possessing a weapon by a prohibited person, which under federal law can mean several things. There are several things under federal law that can prevent a person from having a firearm or ammunition, and being a convicted felon is one of them. And I believe that under state law as well, some of the suspects were already prohibited from having firearms. And I believe it is one of the suspects arrested is also facing a federal charge for possession of methamphetamine with intent to distribute. And on the topic of them being in federal custody, you know, that's something that one of our other reporters talked to, you know, a former federal prosecutor about. And we learned that there are a number of reasons why the federal authorities could get involved in a case like this. And so
I can too. I can think of many too. Yes.
Sure. And so on that, because there is just still a lot that's unknown about, you know, the interplay and the communications between state and federal authorities, I just can't really.
I know.
Say
with respect, you're Julia Carty. She's a reporter. Did a great job. You're a reporter. I'm a talk show host. There's miles between us, and I'm allowed to ask and allowed to say, I don't buy the story. I mean, I've had guys tell me, men and women in law enforcement, look, it was not illegal to have the guns. They had 16 long guns, but they had body armor and they had ammunition. They're in a hotel room. Come on. And then they have dope. And they stick this guy out, and he's apologetic. Hey, we're really neighborhood-loving, community-minded, black tar heroin dealers. And we're just in these $800 a night rooms because we're dealing dope in a place that, you know, I mean, I've had a thousand, that's over the top. Many narcotics officers say, you go to Colfax, you go to Federal, you go to Adams County, you go up to Brighton, you rent a cheap motel, you use a runner, and you don't use a Mercedes with out-of-state plates on it. That's a red flag. You get an old beater, you run the dope. But they didn't even have enough dope to sell to make money. I mean, it's storied, and now they're deep-sixed in the feds. And again, you don't need to comment, but it doesn't happen. There's something we don't know. As a whole, we don't know. You could fill it up.
Of course.
Truly. I mean, I love what you did. I think, and you did a great job.
Of course, absolutely. And I very much appreciate your questions and happy to talk about what I can, but it's just expressing opinions about these
things. And
so.
Believe me, I really respect that and I really understand it. That's why I think you're kind to be here. But for the people that I'm sure remember, people got arrested in this Mavitt Hotel. I was told it was over $800 a night, and they stayed for one night, and then they bought more nights, and they had a balcony, a room with a balcony. It's even, I'm told, more money during the All-Star game. These are allegedly street dope dealers. They don't have that kind of money. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, I got friends in law enforcement that tell me, Peter, you're right. There's something wrong with this story. Now, I don't know what it is, but and now that they're in the feds, you may never see them again or whatever. I don't know. But you know, I don't want to ask your gut reaction because that's unfair as well. So the woman whose name we can't pronounce is out now?
Yes, it appears that she has been released from custody.
Was she bonded out or just released?
It appears that she was bonded out.
Now, for people who don't have any money, how much was it to get her out? What was the bond? I know the judge wanted a $50,000 cash bond on Pratt, and then he disappears into the feds. What was her bond? Do you know that?
I will admit that at this point,
No, please. That's fine. The fact that she's out. And didn't they have a domestic violence beef on them, the two of them? Didn't Richard and the woman whose name we can't pronounce, didn't he beat her up once? I was told that, or more than once. Is that true?
There is an arrest report that I got a hold of from April of 2020 when Richard Platt was arrested for a domestic violence incident at their apartment. Yes.
So they weren't even supposed to be together because of, did she, I'm told, I don't know this, because this is why you're doing what you do, that she had a, what do they call, bond, what's that word they use, that they can't come near you, and she had one on him, yet they're together in this hotel room. Blech.
There was a protection order issued at some point, yes. If my memory serves me, the open warrant that Richard Platt had since December on an open case, if my memory serves, the warrant that was actually issued in December was for failure to comply, which again can mean different things. But the underlying case was from Lone Tree Police, and I believe a couple of the charges were possession of a controlled substance and possession of a weapon by a previous offender. And if I remember correctly from case documents, the warrant issued in December was, I believe, for failing a required drug test.
Wow. Julia Carty's with us, did a great job. The other question that I have is one of the stories that gets sold by the local media. This was a dope for a gun swap. And I think, okay, who were they swapping with? Never ever told you, did they? I mean, there's so many just blind alleys. Oh, this was a swap for dope in an $800 a night hotel room with 16 guns. And I say this all the time, my mother raised a lot of ugly kids, but not a lot of stupid ones. I looked at things, and I think they just, and I'll shut up because I shouldn't say it with you with me. So I'll wait until you're gone, and I'll say what I believe. Are you still pushing the story? And she's with the Denver Gazette, which is really a good alternative paper. They do good work. Are you chasing this still some more?
I am planning to follow the federal cases, yes. And I think that I'm so sorry. Did you ask me a question a moment ago?
I know, and I don't want to put you in the middle of this because it's not fair to you.
I remember what I was going to say. I'm so sorry.
Please.
We in one of the stories that we wrote early last week, one of our other reporters that I was working with did talk to a couple of sources who said that they believed that this was intended as a guns for drugs swap. And so those were not my sources. And so that's really the extent that I know of what she was told. But that was something that one of our other reporters was told by.
I've got to tell you, I don't buy it. You know, plus of other, you don't stash them in your room. I mean, none of it to street criminals. The whole thing was just the media slicked it up and the government slicked it. I don't want to get. Listen, you get out of here. We'll have you on the studio next time. Julia Carty, the Gazette. Before I pull you into a bad place, I say goodbye. Have a good weekend. You're terrific. Thanks, you, Joe. Say hi to everybody for us. Thanks for doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you. But you get her out of the blast. Who believes that story? Show of hands in Radio Land. Oh, I do, Peter. I believe all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Okay. That doesn't work this way. And just think of how many times these people, the media, front range media, prior to the All-Star game, rushed down there. And what defense attorneys tells, I'll put your client on TV. You just don't do it. Guns, service swap, swapping. What's not illegal to have the guns? The guns were legal to have. They didn't have enough dope. Guy comes all the way from Idaho. Come on. And now they're in the feds. Open lines, 303-696-1971. Truly is an art to putting together the perfect kitchen or bathroom remodel. You want the best countertops, wholesale pricing, you need to contact Mitch Floria at the Art of Granite. Mitch is an expert and a craftsman. He can turn granite, quartz, marble, other materials into true works of art right in your home. Schedule a virtual consultation with Mitch by calling 303-386-5919. Visit his website at theartofgranite.com. Call him up. Let him come to the family unit. Provides the granite from his own warehouse in Golden, wholesale pricing, no markups. He is terrific. We say all the time, is grew up in Romania. It's like, wow, where are we headed? Mention 710 KNUS and get a bathroom countertop free. Purchase of a new kitchen countertop. Get a kitchen or bathroom sink free. The purchase of any countertop package. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. Artofgranite.com. Artofgranite.com. Who believes that story that now they're in the feds? And Jack Rice, former CIA agent, I love, coming up at 8 o'clock. 93 The High. Stay here. It is 7:30 on 710 KNUS. Randy tomorrow morning, Stefan this afternoon, and a former CIA agent. This guy is incredible. And thank you. Met him through Stefan. Jack Rice comes on the show. The other big story that drove the calls and drove the anger, the NFL tells everybody, you got to get a shot. 710 KNUS, we go to Aaron on line one and open lines. Aaron, you're on the radio show, man. Good morning.
Hey, morning there, Peter, man.
Aaron.
Well, you know, if the NFL union is smart, they would tell all the players, look, get vaccinated.
Money.
Don't be stupid.
It's money, absolutely.
Because the thing is, though, if they don't, they'll end up what happened to the Denver Broncos.
Absolutely.
Because the thing is, though, last year, the Denver Broncos had to play one of the backup quarterbacks got the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The starting quarterback and the other backup quarterback didn't social distance. So whether they tested positive for COVID-19 or not, look, you're being benched. So mm-hmm. What the Broncos had to do? Well, the NFL told them either you can forfeit the game, or you got to play.
Now it's money.
Well, the thing is, though, the Broncos end up playing a four-string quarterback that hadn't played quarterback until he was last time he played quarterback when he was in college.
Well, I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting. The NFL, for mm-hmm. those of you who have not seen the story this morning, has come out and said, look. Everybody gets the vax, and if you screw a game up,
mm-hmm.
then you forfeit, and if you forfeit, you lose money. And mm-hmm. I said this earlier, knowing a little bit about. Can you imagine the television networks right now thinking, or the local guys, Channel 974, whoever gets the Bronco game, or KOA that mm-hmm. carries the broadcast,
yeah.
and either somebody from the racist Atlanta Falcons, I mentioned this earlier, comes to town,
mm-hmm.
and they get a COVID guy that's hot. There's no game. Everybody, well, nobody gets the money. Can you imagine the revenue loss that will take place? And plus, these guys get paid once a week. I have some friends that played pro ball, and you get paid every week that you play.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling these guys you won't get paid.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. In the NFL, like my man Jerry Glanville will say, the NFL stands for not for long. It's a short career.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a brutal, tough,
yeah, sure.
vicious game. And,
yeah. I mean,
and you better get paid while you can get paid.
And if they say the unvaccinated players could lead to forfeiting games, and we're coming into what's called the 21 season, although it ends in 22,
mm-hmm.
and what do you think's being said in locker rooms? What do you think the league is saying?
Mm-hmm.
But better yet, more so than that, what do you think the television outlets and the internet guys are saying and the radio guys are saying? I mean, every major team has a major, like KOA, has an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
You
got to
pay for the rights.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's beans of dollars on the table.
You know it. And I'm thinking to myself, mm-hmm. now, here's the question I wrote down to myself last night on the little worksheet. What if it was your church that said it, or your company that said it, or your family that said it, or your school that said it? They said, you know, you're going to the family reunion, Aaron. Unless you're vaxxed, you can't come in the door.
There you go.
Well, no, I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Tommy about his church, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess Tommy's—they've had kind of a thing in the church about masks. And
mm-hmm.
I said, what if your church said you can't come to Sunday, or you can't go to shul on Saturday, or you can't go to the mosque unless you're vaxxed?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think people would do?
They get vaxxed. They would make a beeline to wherever that vaccine is available for free and say, hey, man, shoot me up and so I can go to church or
spit
go
me
to
out.
Work or wherever
shoot,
it is.
Shoot me up, spit me out.
That's right. And they would. That's right. That's right. Hook it up and because
oh, yeah.
I got to go to this family unit, which is very important.
All right, let me throw one at you. I don't know if you listened to that last guest. She was terrific. Do you believe this story about what happened in downtown?
You know, I was listening to that story, and it, like you said, Peter, it's really cloudy. like she said, there's so many questions. There's so many questions that she wants answered. And yet she's still digging in, and there was another reporter she's working with, and I guess both of them are still digging in.
No. Listen, these guys are they're in the feds now. Come on.
Yeah, you know, I have no idea.
Please.
Like she said, she doesn't know what's really going on.
No, and God love her. She was great. I mean, I think she really did some breaking on this. But when's the last time you learned about somebody who had a baggie of Mexican black tar who's now in the federal penitentiary? Like,
I don't,
never.
Like you said, though, it's weird, and so it's just strange. She's right, and hopefully maybe they'll get to the bottom of it.
You know
down
what,
the line.
Brother man, for real, I've talked at great length about the King super shooter in Boulder, and it's a total cover up. I mean, the whole thing's a cover up. He's vanished into some crazy place wherever he is, but. Syrian Muslim, the FBI was watching him, watching his brother. He got radicalized. He drives 35 miles to a kind of an obscure King's that has Passover food signs in the window, kills everybody he can and takes his clothes off and lays down. Peter, it's the gun. It was the gun. It's the gun. Yeah.
It was no different than what happened in, I believe, in Texas, where I think 60 Minutes did a report on it. And these radicalized guys were going to attack this, I think it was a gun show.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's a gun.
And, of course, it was an FBI agent that was following them the whole time. And they attacked this gun show, but they made a mistake. The gun show had private security. They took them out, and they arrested the FBI agent, the undercover FBI agent. That was supposedly, he was undercover. He was supposed to report their movements, and they weren't warned about it.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a big old mess.
Come back to me when Robert Spencer comes on the show next, and that was on 60 Minutes. The FBI agent was in the car and got out of the car when those people were going to kill Robert.
That's right.
I mean, we have a guy coming up, former CIA guy, who's absolutely brilliant. And you look at this stuff and you think, and the giveaway was the role. Once again, Front Range Media played. They were quelling the waters. They were calming the storm. Everyone went, what? Three guys and a woman in dope dealers renting an $800 plus a night hotel room. Right. That happens all the time with a baggie of black tar and 16 guns. When doesn't that happen?
I'm like the reporter. It's just strange.
It's intentional. But they put this joker on TV every night, and everybody runs down and puts their cameras up and talks to him on the jail phone. You know, oh, you're just a community minded black tar heroin dealer with no intent. Yep, that's me. All right, now I'm going to federal prison. I'll see you later.
Yep. Well.
All right.
Have a good day,
my boy. Thanks. 303-696-1971. Who buys this story? I mean, and who sells it? Well, and then the NFL. And the Players Association, I'm just reading this, have agreed to, I guess, do this. What does it mean? What about if it says you can't come to the football stadium? I don't know the name of it anymore because it changes all the time, and I don't care. But what's it called, Billy, now? Something Field where the Broncos play? Come on. You can't think of it either. It used to be this, and now it's that. And Empower, that's it. Empower Field. Like, that makes sense. Anyhow, what if it said you can't come and watch your Denver Broncos play, especially if they come from the racist Atlanta place? You know, that's a racist place. You can't go there. Anyhow, And the beat goes on. 93 will be the high. 303-696-1971. The COVID is back. If I got good news, if you're hoping to buy a home in Colorado, there's some more homes hitting the market, but it's easier for buyers. Before you start your search, American Financing, let them walk you through your options, get pre-approved, and help you understand how much home you can afford. Know in advance, so you're already there when you go. Don't get stuck in a bidding war. Know what you can do. This is important work with a lender you can trust. They connect you with your award-winning realtor, so you're not getting everything you need under one roof. They will do it all. You don't go over here, you stay under one roof, American's there. You guys are the best. 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. There's no obligation, no pressure, no upfront fee, no hidden fees. I mean, these are the guys. American Financing, 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Let me give you something to ponder. I voted twice for Donald Trump, but Donald Trump lost Colorado both times. So then people come on here and say, our Republican Party has to be more like Donald Trump. Really? Donald Trump lost twice in Colorado. Now we have to be more like Donald Trump so we can win Colorado. I get it. 303-696-1971.
KNUS.
746, 14 before the hour. 710 KNUS Denver Stock Station. Another angry morning. Friday, 93 will be the high. 710 KNUS, former CIA agent coming up. One of my true favorite people, Brian Gray. Brian, what if I thought of investing in Hunter Biden art for the future?
I wouldn't pay $500,000 for it, that's for sure.
Did you see that?
Oh, my Lord.
Man, you know, nobody's sucking up with Joe, are they buying that? Like, hey,
I'd use it as a dartboard, and that's about it.
No, but it's crazy. Like, this is how it works. $500,000 for Hunter Biden art, and you're not sucking up to Joe doing that, are you? Just me.
I heard somebody say yesterday it looked like a screensaver. So
looked like somebody said a bug splat on a windshield on a motorcycle. I don't know, but $500,000 for Hunter's art. Anyhow.
That's crazy. Hey, what a crazy week we've had. Speak of that, huh? We take a look. We started out the week. We dropped over 800 points. Everybody was starting to panic a little bit. This is where you really need to just take a breath and sit back. Take a look at the Dow right now. We're up 160 points this morning. S&P's up almost 19, and the NASDAQ's up over 43. For the Dow, that puts us over 35,000 right now, 35,002. So, you know, we're going back in the right direction. The big story out there right now is this chip shortage. That's starting to affect everything. Yeah. Auto industry is feeling the pain. They're feeling they're going to struggle until the middle of 2023. Yeah. General Motors actually is starting to slow down some of their plants, the full-size pickup. Chevy Silverado, 1500, GMC Sierra, 1500. So, you know, this thing is really starting spread. It's in household goods. It's everywhere.
And as you well know, where are those chips made and who's holding the chips?
Yeah, that's right, China.
The PRC. Again,
yep.
You know, all this, let's go get the Chinese. No. You watch your step. You're going to get the Chinese.
Yeah.
And they're, no, it's craziness. I apologize. Thank you.
No, you're fine, Pete. It just goes to show that the two big things. Number one, you know, beginning of the week, don't panic because if you stayed in, you made some money this week. And number two, there's a lot of issues out there between chips and the variants and everything else going on. So you need to have a relationship with somebody. You need to have a plan. And if you want to come in and talk with Alpine Planning Group, three of us over here, we're ready to sit down and talk to you.
The meeting is worth the trip. 303-843-0918. I love this man. Brian Gray, Alpine Planning. Go to him. I've gone to them, and it's a must. 303-843-0918. Again, I read all the economists and all kind of stuff, and nobody's talking about those chips are made in China, and Medved said they got parking lots full of cars in Detroit that they can't move.
Yep.
And
got appliances. You got appliances that are 6 to 9 months backlogged.
Oh heavens! I mean, and then people want to go to war with the Chinese. Watch that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm a boy.
I don't know, Pete. I don't know.
I love you. Have a good weekend. Thanks,
hey,
Brian.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer Person, former CIA agent Jack Rice, coming up. Think about that. I mean, if you're reading about people can't get cars and can't get this and can't get that, where's it made? PRC. When Nixon goes to China and that door opens up and the multinationals who control this flee into China, take the steel mills out of Pittsburgh and Youngstown and Gary, and they go to Shanghai and General Electric and everything that happened, the multinationals flee. And now we have this. And now they want to go to war. We go to Nick. Nick, you're on a radio show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Peter.
Man.
Hey, before I get to ask this, when you have your guest, the former CIA guy, come on your show, ask him what he thinks about the election. I have no idea what he's going to say. It'd be interesting if you asked
him. Sure. Of course I will. I mean, I don't know why it's necessary, but go ahead. I will.
The other thing I was going to say is I find it you said you can no longer support Donald Trump.
No.
Because he can't get elected in Colorado.
No, I didn't say that. Please listen. What I said was, the people who say the Colorado Republican Party has to be more like Donald Trump. But I said, Donald Trump lost here twice.
I'm not sure about that. But
why aren't you sure that he lost in Colorado? Do you think that they stole Colorado? Please, Nick, don't.
Are you going to let me finish?
I won't care one way or the other. You believe that Colorado was stolen from Donald Trump in the election?
Let me ask you this question.
Don't answer mine. Whatever you do, don't answer my question.
I called to ask you a particular question.
All right.
So your friend Randy Corcoran, you know, is hot on this subject, as you well know. He's had a guy on, retired Colonel Sean Smith. Are you familiar with retired?
I am not.
Okay. Well, instead of, you know, beating, you know, your one drum, why don't you?
I got many drums. What drum do you want me to hit?
Why don't you invite him on the show?
I don't listen to me. When I tell you this, I really mean it. I don't listen to talk radio. I'm done with it. I listen to a guy come. I don't care.
It.
Listen, it's done. Don't you understand, Nick? Let me ask you a question. What happened to Mayor? What happened to Mayor Giuliani? What happened to the Kraken? What happened to Mike Lindell? What happened to Lynn Wood? What happened to the 60-plus lawsuits? And you want to get down to one light colonel and say you got to get him for your answers? You know what? Hey, Nick, deal with this. It's over.
That's not what
I'm saying. It to you. I'm saying it to you. It's done.
Well, now, what's done?
This
what's
is done? Over. The only thing, this has become a religion.
What's over?
What happened to Mike Lindell?
No. What's over?
This is it. Donald Trump lost. The election is over.
You don't really identify what you're talking about.
Nick,
what's
I just
over?
Try you one more time. The election is over. Donald Trump lost. What do you want to do?
Okay. Did he lose?
Don't ask me any. He lost. It's over.
Later. Well, that's what you think.
Okay,
and you're entitled to feel that way, right, or think that way. What I'm asking you is, so I'll just give you a quick overview, you know, my version of it. Randy had this retired colonel on who was an analyst for the Department of Defense. In his own words, he's not a political type of guy. After the election, he, you know, it's in his wheelhouse, so he just kind of dug into it. But the more he dug into it, the more he found that is wrong.
Okay.
And so why don't you bring him on your show?
I don't have any, I don't want to do it. As a matter of fact, I don't want anything to do with these people. Don't you understand? It's over. I've had 7-8 months of it. But answer this question. I don't want the guy on here. Frank, Nick, I'm done with it. What I want to say to you is, what happened to Lindell? What happened to the Kraken? What happened to Jen Ellis? What happened to Giuliani? What happened to Lynn Wood?
Done with it. You bring it up.
No,
regularly.
No. Only because I don't want to go back and deal. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back and deal with the idiocy of somebody doing math. It doesn't work. This is over. There are lawsuits. These people got attacked last Friday by a federal judge for filing lawsuits. That's going to happen to Jenna Ellis. I bails out because she doesn't want to deal with it. I don't know, you guys. I don't want some guy on the show. I don't want this stuff. I'm looking at the truth. The truth is we got to win an election in 2 years. And it sure as hell ain't going to be doing it like this. There's a civil war in the city, civil war in the state, civil war in the country with the Republican Party, and these damn fools want to press a lie. I'll ask this guy, hey, man, what do you think next on 710 KNUS?